You got any candy left, Melvin? No. I tell you what, I like to got in trouble up here last week. I was on one sitting on this bench, Melvin and them going to the car show. And them kids started to go down there. They expected their candy. And they was looking at me like, you know, what's going on here? You know, we're supposed to get candy and we go downstairs. And I was sitting there in an empty pocket, didn't have a thing. And I'm going to require, this is going to be a requirement. If Melvin's not going to be here, he's going to have to leave the candy on the bench. I wouldn't have done good at it anyway because some of them was a little bit picky, you know. Some of them only like one color only, you know, and that's all they'll do. But, you know, sometimes we're a little picky in life too, you know, as we get older. I tell you, I'm out here this morning just rejoicing and praising the Lord. You know, all the bad stuff and all the things going on around us, you know, and the ups and downs of this world, you know, every morning I can get up, thank God I'm saved by the grace of God. You know, His grace has saved me. And if I hadn't got anything else to rejoice in, I can rejoice in that. That's something that, the world didn't give it to me, so the world can't take it away. Yeah, I love that song, don't you? We'll sing that here one of these days. But talking about the joy of the Lord, it comes through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of things to try to make it right with God, and there's only one way, you know, that's the Lord Jesus. We'll look at a few verses of Scripture today. I want to remind everybody, I guess I'll give you homework assignment now. Y'all ready for your homework assignment? Do you need to write this down? Everybody needs to invite somebody this week to homecoming next Sunday. That's a homework assignment. Invitation to come to homecoming. You know, this is an opportunity we have that a lot of folks, some of them I hope will come back to the church and get back in. I hope we have some new folks here, but just try to invite somebody. I mean a sincere invitation. You know, let them know we'd love to have them, all right? I invited one guy already this week and got turned down, but that's okay. That's all right. It won't go away. It'll stay there. He said he probably wasn't coming. Okay. But he's invited. One day when I get up to heaven, that'll be on my record. And guess what? It'll be on his record. Amen, and I'm glad to say that. Let's look to a few verses of Scripture today. Acts chapter 4, we want to start there, and we're going to talk about Jesus. You know, the most important thing we can do is get right with the Lord through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we've got the promise of eternal life. You know, I'm up here saying that I just raise my hand and just lean back and praise God that I know I'm saved because I've done what God asked me to do. You know, according to His Word, not on what I've done or not on what I thought, but on what God said. And so we're going to get into the Word today, and it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got thinking, you know, there might be somebody here in this house that can't rejoice and say, I'm saved by the grace of God. And, you know, I understand the joy and the happiness and the gladness, you know. You can get up in the mornings and no matter what happens, you just refuse to let that rob you of the joy that God said, I gave you through your salvation. There's joy in salvation. There's happiness. There's contentment in salvation, you know. And if you're without it, this may be your day. You can get it right with God. I tell you, Jesus is here and He's present. He'd like to meet with you. Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, talking about Jesus. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And you know, so he's talking about and telling them, he said, although you set it at naught, it's become the head of the corner. In other words, it's the most important. It's the one that everything else is lined up on. A lot of you carpenters would know that you have to set the cornerstone, you know, and then everything else plumbs by it, everything else squares by it. And so start seeing the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ that it's become the head of the corner. In other words, it's got a place. And in verse 12, it said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so we've got the Lord Jesus for salvation in no other way. You know, these people that say, I'm going to get in this way or I'm going to get in that way, the Lord Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door, and you're going to have to come through me. You know, you can't go under the cross or around the cross. You got to go through the cross and the Lord Jesus and His salvation. And when we start looking around at all the different ways and the different people that say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, if you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got it done. In verse 13, it said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, I want you to notice this. Christ brings a boldness, don't it? You know, you don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to be timid about talking about the Lord and telling people about the power of God. And it said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm telling you, every time you come in and talk and get with Jesus, it's going to make a difference. You know, I got thinking about it. It said they saw them and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. So it's not about what we know or how smart we are. It's about being with Jesus. And I'm telling you, that stood out to everybody around them. They said, we can tell that they've been with Jesus. You know, if I'm around somebody very much, I can usually tell if they've been with Jesus. You know, it's usually not a real heart thing. You know, you can tell because, you know, Scripture said old things have passed away, all things become new. And so then we have a gauge and we have a judgment. We can be around people and observe what they do and how they talk and how they act, even how they smell. Perceive they've been with Jesus. You know, if I run up on some of these folks and they smell strong of alcohol, I don't, you know, I'm not the judge, but have a doubt there, you know. Smell even makes a difference. Vision makes a difference. But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so that's where we want to get today, that we could take knowledge of you that you've been with Jesus. Old things passed away. All things become new. Hey, you know, we're born again to live a new life. Let's look over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Turn over with me just for a minute. Isaiah chapter 55, and I'll start in verse 6. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about eternal. We're talking about, you know, something that never ends, that you could have this for an eternity, that you could be in the grace of God and go to heaven and stay for an eternity. And that's what we're talking about. And it's all through the Lord Jesus. Now, in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And so it gives indication through the Word of God that we've got opportunities and windows of opportunity and doors of opportunity, that when the Lord's near, that's when we need to seek Him. You know, it said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. I think about this a lot. You know, I talked to a lot of people and I've had a lot of people tell me down through the ages, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And when I get ready, I'm going to get saved. Y'all ever heard that one? When I get ready, I'm going to get saved. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get saved when you get ready. You're going to get saved when God calls you, or it's not going to happen. You know, St. John chapter 6 and verse 44 said, no man can come to me except the Master which sent, the Father which sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so the window of opportunity is not given on what we want, but what God calls us through the Holy Spirit. And that door swings open. You know, it's not going to be at your day. It's not going to be on your time. It's going to be when God calls you. Verse 7, more instructions. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Well, oh, I love that word, abundantly pardoned. I need abundantly pardoned. That's what I need one day, you know, because I was a sinner, lost, on my way to hell. I'm talking about no hope. And then the Lord showed me the hope through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I guess I qualified for that abundantly pardoned because I had a lot to be pardoned for. But that's the good news today, that nobody stepped too far away or got too far in sin or too deep in it, that God can't raise them out. You know, raise them up. We sang that song a minute ago. He lifted me up. Amen. Lifted me up out of the miry clay. And thank God that he's still lifting people up today. If you'd stretch your hand out, he'd probably get a hold of you along about right now and lift you up out of that sin that you're in. Lift you up out of those problems that you've got in life. Because God is looking for people to worship and praise him and looking for people to be saved by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The will of God is that all would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And so we're talking about the will of God here today. That's an opportunity for somebody. In verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You know, we get into this all the time. It's not about what we think, it's about what God said. Now, our mind and God's mind is not the same, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. He's looking down. I might look at you today, and I may not love you totally like God will, but God's thought is that he loves you enough. He gave his son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary, stretched his arms out and died for your sins, not his. He didn't have any. And so we come down to a point, it talks about thoughts. You know, a lot of people in their mind get it made up. And they say, well, this is what I think. What you think don't get it done. It's what God says. That power of the word. In verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And it shows us the difference in between them. How high is it from this earth up to the heavens? Who knows? You can't even measure it. It just, who knows? I mean, you know, in verse 10, it said, for as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and making it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And so we're talking about the work and the power of God that's demonstrated each and every day, how he supplies us and takes care of our needs. Now we get down to the word of God. I'm talking about to the word, not how it's delivered. Not how it's brought, but the power of the word in verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whitherto I sent it. And now we get to talking about the power of the word of God. That's where the power it is of this whole world. You know, it's in God's hands and God's word. And so when I got thinking about, you know, it shall accomplish that which I please. It would please God today for somebody to receive his son, Jesus Christ. You want to please God today? Receive the sacrifice that he made for your sins and the sins of the whole world. You know, I believe God's sending a message here today that this is your time. And that drawing power I spoke of in 6 and 44, St. John, is present with us today. I feel the power all through this house today. Let's look over to St. John chapter 4. Just for a few minutes. St. John chapter 4. Dealing with a woman. This is Jesus dealing with her. And St. John chapter 4 and verse 17. St. John chapter 17, verse 4. No, chapter 4, verse 17, excuse me. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that says thou truly. I begin thinking about this, and it's not about the number of husbands. It's not about this, not about that. I believe the total indication of this is that Jesus knows all about you today. You know, he knew her life completely. She wasn't hiding anything from him. You know, a lot of people, you may come in and you may sit tight on the bench and think I've hid that and God don't know it, but you've hid nothing from the Lord Jesus. You've hid nothing from God. He knew all about this woman, but yet he was still ready to offer her eternal life. Amen. He may know your total history, know all your life, know all your sin, and he'll say, but I'll still save them. Amen. Still save them. Now that's the grace that we have. In verse 19, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, you know, it's hard to meet Jesus and not know who he is, right? She knew there was something different. She knew there was something special. In verse 20, it said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And so he's lining her up, telling her, he said, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 22 is kind of a heartbreaker to me. You know, I see so much of that in our world today, that our people are worshiping, they know not what. They don't even know what they worship. You know, maybe it's a house, maybe it's a car. I've even known some people in Sicily that worship a lawnmower, love it better than they do church. Amen. Sounds like ignorance to me. I don't like no lawnmower. Hey, man, that's something to work with. But when we get to looking at this, he told her, he said, you don't even know what you worship. He said, you worship, you know not what. He said, we know what we worship. Today, I'm praying that you would come from that situation, you worship, you know not what, to worshiping God for what he'd done through the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. Verse 23 said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And so I believe that hour is now. You know, Jesus said that hour cometh when you must worship in spirit and in truth. How are you going to worship God in spirit and in truth? How are you going to know the truth? You're going to get it from the Word of God. Whether I preach it or somebody teaches it or you read it on your own, that's where the truth comes on. And Jesus is telling them, said, you know, you must do it in spirit and truth. And said, for the Father seeketh those to worship him. Have you thought about when you came in here today and you took your seat and you're in your place, did you think about the Father, God himself, seeking you? He got you here. Now he's seeking you, seeking such for to worship him. You know, I don't believe you can truly worship and praise God unless you're a child of God. He said we must worship in spirit and truth. If you're not saved, you don't have the spirit and you don't have the truth. Y'all got that one? You figured that one out? You know, it's not hard to figure, is it? Without being a child of God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you hadn't got the spirit. And without the Spirit, you'll not have the truth. So God is desiring somebody gets saved. In verse 24, it said, for God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And so unbelievers don't worship God. You know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, according to the Word of God, you must do it in spirit and truth. And if you don't have Jesus as a Savior, you don't have the Spirit or the truth, either one. So how are you going to worship? You want to worship God? Get saved. Get saved. Let's look at just a few more verses. I want you to hear what Jesus did for you. You know, sometimes we just need reminded, don't we? You ever had anybody do just a very special work for you and everything, all these things? I want to remind you of what Jesus did for you. In St. Luke chapter 23, St. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, no, verse 32. Let's skip up just a little bit. St. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Now notice this. Two other malefactors led to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And so you see this scene, he's crucified. He's hanging in the middle on the cross I'm talking about. And this is Jesus, the Son of God. And God has allowed him to be crucified. You know, he laid down his life that you might have eternal life. Not because of his sin, but because of yours. And because of mine, because of everything in the world, all of it in the world. In verse 34, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. He's still forgiven when they nailed him on the cross. That's the love that God has for you. And the people that stood beholding, the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him in coming to him and offered him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of Jews, save thyself. Little did they know he could have took himself off the cross. He didn't because of you. That's the only reason he didn't come down and wipe that bunch out. He had the power. It was available, but it's because of you. They stayed there. And a superscription was also written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged rallied on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And others answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So he made a promise of salvation even while they're hanging on the cross. Now you're talking about the thief hanging there. He got grace. Amen. Tell me you can't be saved at the last hour or the last minute. You can be saved whenever God calls you. In verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now I'm telling you what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus, a lot of people say, well, he did it for the whole world. Amen, he did it for the whole world. But break it down, he did it for you. He did it all for you. Beth and Glenda, y'all come up. We're going to have a verse of a song. They're coming up. Going to sing about peace. Going to sing about joy. I don't know what all they're going to sing about, but I'm going to tell you, the only true peace you'll find is when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I know a lot of people try to get peace in a lot of different ways, but what they find is through the Lord Jesus. When I got up this morning, I had peace. I hope when you got up this morning, you had peace. I hope when you go home today, you can have peace that you know you're saved by the grace of God. Right here, Beth.
No more. in Ohio, but God's moving on her to go to church. Hey, you know, and that's the way you do. You follow the Lord, you know. And I told him, I said, Willie,